Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
She Deserved the Purse Challenge has taken off. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
The Purse Challenge.
It's always nice, a little pay-it-forward action like that. Better than what else you see on TikTok.
I was just going to say, beats a lot of the other challenges. Here, eat this. Here, smell this. Here, break this.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 6:11, former President Donald Trump will return to Wisconsin for a rally this weekend, southwest part of our state. President Biden addresses the UN General Assembly today, and Vice President Harris has plans to meet with the President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, in Washington later this week. Let's get to all of it with ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers in Washington this morning. Karen, can we start first with the President's address, his final
Absolutely.
At the UN today? Now, we've set up President Zelensky of Ukraine plans to meet with both VP Harris and former President Trump this week. What weight, if any, does the current president still pull on the national stage?
I think some. You know, I think people are waiting to see what happens in the November election. And, of course, you know, this is always an interesting time for American politics on the world stage as global leaders are waiting to see what things will shake out over the next couple of months. So, you know, hedging bets is maybe a phrase that you might hear from officials around the world of, like, just waiting to see what plays out here. So no surprise when you've got world leaders coming to New York for these days of meetings, they're going to meet with everybody they have a potential chance to meet with and see who might be in office in the next couple of months.
So Vice President Harris doesn't have a lot of campaigning events on her schedule this week. You've sort of been looking into that. Is that a strategy?
Yeah, it was interesting to us. Like, when you looked at the days ahead, you had former President Trump in Pennsylvania yesterday, Georgia today, North Carolina tomorrow, Michigan Friday, and then he's heading out to your state on Saturday. That's a really busy schedule for him, especially because he hasn't kind of done, you know, five states over the course of 6 days. We haven't seen, like, that type of pace from the former president. And Vice President Harris's schedule, in comparison, really seems light. She's going to Pennsylvania tomorrow for a speech on the economy in Pittsburgh. And we know she has campaign events scheduled later this week in Arizona and likely in Nevada. But in terms of other battleground states, she doesn't have anything officially announced yet. She was in Washington at the White House yesterday for a meeting with the president of the UAE, similar to President Biden's meeting. And she'll be at the White House on Thursday for a meeting with President Zelensky of Ukraine. So, you know, the campaign says they're trying to balance her on the campaign trail while also doing foreign policy meetings because of everything that's going on this week with the UN. But it did seem notable with 6 weeks out, there's a very different balance of events this week. The campaign says don't read too much into it, that there isn't some bigger strategy to a lighter schedule this week, and that there have been plenty of weeks where she's been hitting the campaign trail hard and Trump has not. Also interesting to us was a campaign official saying, you know, more isn't always more. They're very strategic with her time. She's doing local interviews. She's appearing on a podcast, we're told, and doing, you know, local targeted television and radio, which they feel gets a lot of bang for the buck out in battleground states.
ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers with us live this morning from Washington. Thank you, Karen.
Have a great day.
There is also that over fatigue that you can run into, not necessarily for the candidate themselves, but for the consumer, the American who might get fatigue of...
I'm seeing too much of this,
overexposure,
right? We're already seeing
right?
the commercials and the whatever. You know, conservatives would suggest that she's being hidden.
Sure,
that,
of course.
That her campaign is afraid to roll her out. I think there also is a legitimate, perhaps, strategy here as well of, should we just burn these folks out into the ground, right, by campaigning and campaigning and campaigning, and then there's nothing left at the end for those bigger moments, and then you see stumbles and things like that.
Oh,
it seems like at least they've taken that part into consideration as well. 6:15, we got sports up next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
The Brewers get back to work tonight, a three-game set against the Pittsburgh Pirates in Pittsburgh. Any chance at the two seed in the postseason? Starting to wane. could mean a bye in the first round. It'd be awesome to have, but it's quickly slipping away. The Brewers now are currently 4 wins behind the Dodgers and the Phillies right now. Philadelphia, meanwhile, did clinch the East on Monday night. So if the Brewers stay the 3 seed, they would host a best-of-3 game series starting next Tuesday. Host of Brewers Extra Innings, Dom Catronio.
Row, all 3 games would be at American Family Field. And then, quite frankly, as the rotation looks right now, Freddie Peralta might be game one starter.
Could be Peralta. It'd be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday if need be. They'll likely face either the Mets, Braves, or Diamondbacks in that series. Brewers and Pirates tonight, 5:05 coverage right here on WDTMJ, 5:40 start time on WDTMJ as well. Monday Night Football, 2 games last night. The Bengals now 0-3 after the Commanders beat them in an upset, 38-33. And the Bills, embarrassed the Jaguars, 47-10 the final.
I turned that game on for about 3 seconds.
It was 34-3 at half.
Nothing good happened here. Former Packers running back Aaron Jones returns to Lambeau Field Sunday when the Vikings come to town. Eric asked, he's like, how's Jones doing this season, right? I looked it up. He just ran for 102 yards against the Texans last week. Okay. 5 receptions and a touchdown through the air.
He's a problem. He is, and he looks really good.
Yeah, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
All right.
So obviously stopping the run will be a priority for the Packers defense Sunday, even if it means stopping an old friend.
Certainly, he's one of my favorite players that I've ever had the privilege to coach, a guy like that. Still got a lot of love for him. Just won't have a lot of love for him when we're playing against him.
Yeah, Vikings come in undefeated to play your 2-1 Green Bay Packers. No update as to whether quarterback Jordan Love will start this week as he works to recover from his MCL injury.
When we got out of that, the crowd is standing on his feet here at Augusta, the normally reserved Augusta crowd. Going wild.
Golf news today. Headed out to Erin Hills after the show, E. The States Golf Association is holding a news conference this morning. Okay. Erin Hills in Washington County hosted the U.S. Open in 2017, will host the U.S. Women's Open next spring. I tell people all the time, if you're not into golf, when you talk about our state hosting major championships like that, it is a big, big deal because you get the exposure, the economic impact, etc. I'm told today's announcement is not another major, but it will be multiple amateur championships. Okay, so what then? These are events that are interesting for golf enthusiasts, certainly. They're important in the USGA, like the U.S. Amateur or the Mid-Am, which Erin Hills has hosted before. The fact that the USGA, though, continues its relationship with Erin Hills means we do stay in their good graces and in the mix for the biggest of these events that matter to everybody. So head out there today, get the specifics, but good thing for golf in Wisconsin.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
At 6:22 on Wisconsin's Morning News this Tuesday morning, have an update on the incident at West Allis Nathan Hale High School a week ago and the motivation of the student at the center of a scare that prompted the evacuation of the school and a large police response.
There's some kid with a vest on, and we heard him say, wait until I detonate, and obviously I'm not going to take that lightly.
A report of a student seeming to suggest he was wired with explosives, wearing what some fellow students thought might be an explosive vest, turned out to be a piece of athletic equipment. No explosives found. That student there that you heard from speaking with TMJ4 News on the day. I've not seen this reported elsewhere to this point, Eric. So this may be exclusive to our show. I reached out to the school district, to the West Allis Police Department, and to the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office to find out more about exactly what was the motivation of the student with the vest and what consequences he may face. Deputy Chief in West Allis is Bob Fletcher, and he got back to me, tells me police did take a 16-year-old boy into custody following the incident. His name is not being released due to the fact that he's a juvenile. Deputy Chief tells me when they made contact with the student, it was, quote, readily apparent there was no threat from an explosive and does not appear that he intended to create a disturbance. So first two important questions answered, right? Was there ever an actual threat to student safety that day? Answer seems to be no. Was the intention of the student to make a bunch of threats, to get people to be scared, to cause an evacuation or chaos? Investigators do not believe that that's the case.
So what was the intention?
There apparently was no intention, according to investigators. It kind of makes it challenging. Like maybe the kid just made a bad joke. The vest he was wearing, you described it as something that hikers wear.
Oh, it's a ruck vest. Yeah, so it's basically a weighted vest that you put on and you use that to work out.
So he wasn't really, according to investigators, it seems, trying to suggest that it was an explosive vest, but maybe somebody gave him the business over, like, what's with the vest? And maybe he said, ah, well, wait till I detonate.
Right, yeah, yeah, right.
Sounds like it was an offhanded comment, not intended to cause the reaction that it did. But you can't blame the students, right? They were about a week or so removed from the Georgia school shooting.
Well, and they're told over and over, they're drilled on this.
Yes.
See something, say something.
So they saw something, they heard something. They didn't know what they were dealing with. Maybe it was a joke, maybe it wasn't, but they reported it to school officials, and school officials, I think by all accounts, acted appropriately. They evacuated the school. Not for nothing, too. I've talked about this. Students, staff, teachers, parents, they all went through something that day. Listen again to this student who spoke with TMJ4 News that morning.
After everything that happened in Georgia, I was just super worried. Like, I was like, oh, no. And I was literally, I was looking for all my friends. I was, like, making sure I was counting everybody, make sure I had a head count of all my friends.
I mean, like, that's heartbreaking, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
She's counting her friends, making sure everybody got out, not knowing what's going on. They all went through that traumatic experience. The community went through that experience. I mean, we were talking about it on the air.
Right.
Parents might have heard it, might have been getting texts from their students, not knowing what all played out. So something did happen, even though it wasn't ultimately an actual threat of explosives, nor intended to be. A West Allis police report, they did issue a citation to the teen, so a ticket. Could be, I did follow up with the deputy chief, but I didn't hear back, like, what was the ticket? Was it disorderly conduct or something like that?
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a citation. There may be more. Assistant District Attorney Kent Laverne, who is set to become District Attorney in January when John Chisholm retires, he did get back to me as well, did tell me that they reviewed the case and issued a charge in children's court. Typically, those records are very hard to come by. They're sealed, as juveniles in the justice system are protected to a degree. So we may not learn more specifically about what that charge is or how it all plays out. The school district, from whom we frequently receive press releases on various activities like we're having a health fair today or whatnot, didn't get back to me. So I'm very glad to see, you know, receive all your marketing emails, but you had a serious incident at your school, and I'll give you some grace. Maybe the person whom I emailed wasn't in that day or whatever. Maybe they just don't want to talk about it anymore. And typically they won't reveal what disciplinary action they may have taken. Was the student suspended or whatnot?
The question, does the kid deserve a perp walk? Think about that. That sheriff in Florida who said, from now on, anytime things like this happen, he's perp walking the kid no matter what.
I think you do have to separate out. This is a 16-year-old, a teenage brain. You have to separate out someone who tries to pull something versus someone who made a mistake. And granted, in the parlance of our times, it's not a mistake that we afford young people to make anymore, but just said something stupid, right, without intent. I think you can separate that out. It appears that that's the case here in West Allis. We do have an update, albeit not much of one, on what the plan is for Packers quarterback Jordan Love this week, as we got the Vikings coming to town. We'll do that at 6:45.
Moms across the country are acknowledging their peers with generous acts of kindness.
Mothers have been buying gift cards and hiding them in formula cans and diaper boxes for others to find. Some even handing them out personally.
Seriously?
It all began with a Nashville mom shopping at Target with her 2-year-old son when she spotted a $20 silver purse stashed on a shelf in the baby aisle and took it as a sign. Someone had sacrificed something she wanted to buy to get something for her baby. Paying it forward has proved rewarding.
Thank you for being an amazing mom.
Oh, could I give you a hug?
The She Deserved the Purse Challenge has taken off. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
The Purse Challenge.
It's always nice, a little pay it forward action like that. Better than what else you see on TikTok.
I was just going to say, beats a lot of the other challenges. Here, eat this. Here, smell this. Here, break this. I'll take this one. 6:38, Wisconsin's Morning News. Six 6:42 on this Tuesday morning. What happens once a month on Tuesdays? The Milwaukee Common Council meets this morning at Milwaukee City Hall. Great flag debate will come to a vote. I guess, barring the unforeseen, they could table it. Could you imagine?
Who knows?
Referred
could
back to committee.
Yep.
More on that in a moment. Milwaukee Mayor Campbell Johnson will give his annual budget address today. I have some information as to what's in it. Property taxes are going up. From a source in the mayor's office, I'm told that Mayor Johnson's budget will include a 2% increase to the property tax levy, the levy being the total amount of taxes collected by the city. Fees are also on the rise. So that would be those separate line items in your property taxes. There's a fee for, like, sanitation, snow and ice removal.
Okay.
Those fees up at least 2%. Sewer and stormwater fees up 5 to 6%. The The good thing, if there is one, about separating out in terms of fees versus taxes is nonprofits like hospitals and churches are exempt from property taxes, but they all pay these fees. So you're spreading that out over a wider margin. For city taxpayers, could have been worse. Mayor's office pointing out they expect to collect nearly $200 million in sales tax revenue from the recently approved 2% sales tax, as well as an increase in state shared revenue of more than 2%. Told the mayor will also announce, quote, public safety investment, both prevention and accountability efforts. So that's the big business at City Hall this morning.
So he'll give that. He'll address the council, what, at 9 a.m. today?
And then deliver the budget to them, and then the council then will debate it. They can add amendments, they can change things, and they kick it back to the mayor. So this process will play out through the fall.
And then, oh, yes, don't forget the vote on the people's flag. Today, maybe. I mean, who knows?
They could do anything.
So the people's flag, you know, it's blue, yellowish, has that circle in the middle depicting the sun rising over the lake. Well, during a steering and licensing committee hearing earlier this month, Alderman Bob Bauman added a secondary option. At least he foreshadowed it. So we have this secondary option, right? This flag that has City Hall in it, right?
Which you've questioned whether it was even serious.
Yeah, I think he's mocking in some fashion. We did ask him. I did try to get a hold of him, try to get him on. He declined all of that. Anyway, they have to vote on one of these two flags or deny them both today. But during this hearing earlier in the month, this committee hearing, the alderman actually foreshadowed this.
Even adding a silhouette of City Hall in the white circle above the blue would at least add something that distinguishes this flag as relating to this city, not Reno, Nevada. We have adopted a very similar flag.
Well, maybe he was serious
so
then.
He brought it up weeks ago. Who knows what they'll vote on today.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
All right, Brewers, here we go. A series on the road and then a series back at home. Brewers get back to work tonight in Pittsburgh against the Pirates. Three in Pittsburgh, and then they come home to take on the Mets. So any chance at the two seed in the postseason, which would mean a bye in the first round of the playoffs, that's quickly slipping away. The Brewers currently four wins back behind the Dodgers and the Phillies. The Phillies, meanwhile, clinched the East on Monday night. They celebrated, they ran around, they did all of that.
Swing and a fly ball, right center field. Castellanos going back, on the edge of the track, makes the catch! The ball game is over! For the first time in 13 years, the Phillies will celebrate as National League East champions!
All right.
It's their 12th divisional crown, and they'll mob each other on the mound! One more time.
No, only one more time. Anyway, that was NBC Sports. Their nice job there. So the Phillies win. Brewers tonight against the Pirates. 5:05 our coverage. 5:40 start time on WDTMJ. Monday Night Football. Two games on Monday night. The Bengals now 0-3 after the Commanders rookie quarterback Jayden Daniels had a great night throwing a pair of TDs, running as well. 38-33 the final there. As for the Bills, flat out embarrassing the Jaguars, 47-10, the final.
Undefeated Minnesota Vikings come to Lambeau Field Sunday. Packers quarterback Jordan Love still yet to play since his opening game injury. What's the plan for him this week, Coach?
You always want to know. I'm sure he'll be limited and then work it day by day.
Day by day. Day by day.
Oh, so I guess we'll take it day by day. Love did practice all last week. Doesn't sound like he suffered any setbacks. Wouldn't expect to hear much more than that from Coach through the week, who did not reveal whether Love would even suit up until 90 minutes before kickoff last week. So for now, we'll take our Jordan Love news day by day.
To college football. The Badgers head west to take on the new Big Ten foe USC on Saturday. Yeah, they play the Trojans. Braden Locke will be under center after the injury to Tyler Van Dyke, of course, their other quarterback. Head coach Luke Fickell on just the offense. You want a word salad?
Yeah.
Here you go.
It's not some special play. That's the thing that I think gets lost in the whole grand scheme of things, right? I mean, you know, that it's some special play that you call. No, it's called execution. It's called guys winning one-on-ones. I mean, I just remind, even when I go in there and remind them, like, the plays are there. We just got to find ways to finish. We got to find ways to understand that effort is going to overcome a lot of those things. So the vision of bigger plays, yes.
Okay.
But it's not in any different way.
Anyway, yeah, their offense will get going maybe.
Where's the LaFleur? I don't know what that means. I guess probably he's being asked, like, where's the air raid?
Yeah,
when does the Luke Fickell era begin?
He's saying that the big play is there when they can execute. There is opportunities. They just have to go through their process.
6:49 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Tuesday morning, we bring in friend of the program, two-time sports writer of the year for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lori Nickel. What are you working on this week, Lori?
Well, it's all about baseball this week for sure, and there's a couple of stories that we haven't been able to get to yet about pitcher Colin Ray and also William Contreras. He's like my Oprah. Like, that's the big story that, you know, you could never get the interview. So I got to think of some creative ideas. A lot of people think you just show up and write or whatever, but to me, like, I spend a lot of time doing research and trying to come up with great ideas, and we've got to come up with new angles on Churio and Adames. So it's all about the Brewers, which is what I love to do. It's interesting, though. Like, yesterday I talked to my boss, and he's like, hey, you want to write some more opinion pieces? And I'm like, what? So so it's kind of a balance. But right now it's heavy research, and then after that it's all Brewers.
So opinion pieces, or be more opinionated in your work. I sense some trepidation there. How do you feel about that?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, who cares? Nobody cares what I think. You don't care.
We care.
There's nobody. You don't care. There's nobody. And so I'm a columnist, technically. But I think that just means I'm old and I've been around a long time. I mean, a traditional columnist is like somebody who just shreds somebody or rips somebody and criticizes all the time. I mean, that's kind of what we grew up with. Or like, if there was a big game, you couldn't wait till you opened up the paper the next day and read the criticism of that columnist. But that's like from our childhood. I think those days are over. But in the media, there's still this desire to kind of have these really strong opinions. That's what editors want. But I just don't think that's what consumers and readers want.
I don't know. I don't know, Lori. I think the opposite. I don't even think consumers realize it, but they need to be told how to think sometimes. That's why they go to the paper, or they read the column, or read the blog, or listen to the sports radios, because they need someone to tell them how to feel about it.
Okay, but my job, Bob Knight told me this when I was a 20-year-old student at Indiana University, the basketball coach there. Didn't talk to the student media for decades, you know, pulls me in his office and he's like, you're nothing without your sources. So if I open my mouth and tell people my opinions, I might alienate my sources and they're not going to open up to me and tell me things. And that's my job. Ultimately, I'm the conduit between the fans and the athletes to present things and do it in a factual way, a respectful way, an honest way. The thing about all the opinions, there's so many opinions. I would like to sometimes just have the facts presented to me or the story, because you can't open up social media or turn on the television now without being blasted with opinions that aren't credible, or I don't think you earned the right to maybe share that opinion. And it's not just sports. Obviously, it's every part of our world. So it's really uncomfortable. I am super opinionated. And I suppress that with chocolate and donuts like a normal human.
Like a normal person. I feel your growing pain there. Like, when I moved over from TV, like, we were expressly prohibited from sharing opinion. And the format for what I did as a news anchor was tell them, this is what these folks say, this is what these folks say, and leave it there for people to decide. You present the facts. Over here,
right.
I'm not in any way prevented from doing that. In fact, you know, most of what we do is still lay out for you what we know to be factual, but that doesn't mean there can't be like an edge to it. I still don't come on, like, I set guardrails for myself. I don't come out here and pound the table and say, vote for these guys or have this ideology and not that. You can still be a platform where those other, even folks who differ from your opinion are welcome and find a way to be expressed in your writing.
Yeah, I don't, again, I think you have that clout and that credibility. I just don't
you
think.
You don't? You've been doing this for a million years.
But print journalism, do you know how disrespected we are? When I was a kid, in my family, my grandfather subscribed to the Milwaukee Sentinel, the Milwaukee Journal, and the Chicago Tribune. Both of my parents, while divorced, were huge into newspapers and stuff. Like, being a reporter was such a respectable thing, and being a woman in sports was, like, awesome. Now we're treated like trash by the public. My own friends and family are like, well, I don't trust the media. And I'm like, you're looking at the media. What are you doing?
Well, that's your point. You can trust me. You don't have to. The media is this big monolith, this entity. They can trust you and seek you out.
I just don't know that I have that credibility, and I don't think anybody cares. And I think if somebody cares, they only want to see if you align with them or if they can fight with you. It's not a learning opportunity. It's not an exchange of ideas. It's more of a, are you on my team or not kind of a thing. And I'm not, I'm playing the long game. I'm going to be Betty White in the locker room. I'm going to be that old covering sports one day.
Awesome.
And when I'm that age, then I'll tell you all the lifetime of stories that I've accumulated all this time. And I'll be like, sit down, Sonny. Give me some of that whiskey, and I'll tell you what you should think. But I'm a few. I just don't. I want to keep my career. If I say one thing wrong, you could get canceled now for anything, even if it's a sincere mistake or whatever. And I just, I have a lot. I also just don't think there's nobody in this listenership right now who needs a media opinion. I'm sure they just want to hear what's going on. They want to laugh at your flag stories, which are hilarious and all that stuff. And I just don't think anybody wants to hear it.
Lori Nichol, there you go. Don't think you want to hear it. Well, I can't wait to read your next piece.
Yeah,
we'll see.
It'll be awesome.
Thanks, Lori. Take care. Coming up on 7 o'clock on Wisconsin's Morning News.